Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are so glad you're here. It's time for more of your listener questions, including a great question coming from Bel Air, Maryland. Caitlin asks a couple of great questions. It's kind of the yin and the yang of Disney trip planning. Some restaurants that would both help a picky eater and a foodie. And also, how about planning a trip for a Disney lover who's been many times, but they're taking a first-time visitor? We'll discuss that and more on today's episode, but first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days2Go WDW. Days2Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm looking down at my iPhone 7 Plus, and I can see that we're down to 45 days to go until we head down to Walt Disney World for 12 awesome days. I can't wait. I'll tell you what, every time I see a Southwest Airlines plane flying over our house, I get excited. Same thing when I look at my phone. I know anytime I get a text, place a call, post to social media, I see how many days I have left to go, see great pictures, audio alerts. I customize it. It's a great app. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com. Also, thank you so much to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. It really is the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. We get a little bit of an affiliate kickback there from Amazon. Each time you purchase through the link, it costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits. We sure appreciate it each and every time you use it. Again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1329 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Check it out in your Amazon devices, also Google Home, and you can also just go to MagicalMouseRadio.com. It's getting better and better every day. Thanks to my good buddy Brian down in Springfield, Missouri for helping us out with that. Yay. And making it awesome. I love listening to that every morning as I get ready now again. So it's pretty awesome. So today we are going to answer more of your listener questions. That's what we do here on Wednesdays. Pam is working hard down in Walt Disney World right now. So she left the Be Our Guest podcast stuff to Ricky and I. So we're going to have a good time. Good. You know, we're not there, but this is just as fun. So Ricky's joining us from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com. Check that out. And of course, TouringPlans.com and The Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
I had the best weekend ever. So, I mean, there is a Disney tie in with this. So I got to see Justin Timberlake this weekend on Friday, and it was fantastic. So,
Justin, I mean, who? You know, he was in Backstreet Boys?
No, in Sync. In Sync. Don't make me beat you. Yeah, so, of course, for those who don't know the tie-in, he used to be in the Mickey Mouse Club a long time ago, which I have videotapes of the old Mickey Mouse Club, by the way, somewhere in storage. But anyway, So I know that some of you guys may have seen on my social media that I was bummed because he was literally down the street from me, from where I worked, and I did not have tickets. I tried to get tickets the day they came out. They were sold out immediately. I didn't even have a chance. So I went online. I was by myself on Friday and was like, well, let's just see if there are any tickets. And there was one that was reasonably priced. So if you just told me I was going to see Justin Timberlake on Friday, when I woke up that morning, I would have laughed at you. And then I did. So concert was awesome, though.
George has the line, it's gonna be my...
It is. Absolutely. It was so fantastic. I thought of that when he announced that he was going to be here in May when the announcement came. I just had to laugh, but... yeah, the concert was awesome for anybody who's actually got tickets to go see Justin this summer. And also, I will be back again when he's back here in Atlanta in January. So I'm very excited. I get to see him twice. Get to see my other husband.
There you go. All right. Well, also, shout out to Chris Young. He's got me the cap here. Came on Sunday.
That's awesome.
This is not Matt Parrish broadcasting live from Missouri. This is Mike Rallman with his favorite American League team, which is the Royals. And I'm still with them, even though they're pretty bad this year. But
yeah,
we can't all be in first place in Missouri. You know, the Cardinals have it have the east side of the state in first place. Well, we're in second, but we'll probably be in first place by the time this comes. Anyway, Caitlin's got the first question. That's why you're here. You're not here for JT or baseball.
You're here for stuff. Justin Timberlake.
No, we're not.
I was jamming out all weekend, though.
Good
I gotta say.
For
like,
you.
It was on repeat.
That's awesome. All right. Caitlin says, hello, all. I found your podcast a few months ago and love it. Your tips and tricks have become extremely useful for planning a trip to the world. I have a few questions in regards to my upcoming trip. I visited the world several times as a child and am planning my first adult trip with my boyfriend. We'll be staying at Pop Century in August of 2019, and we're both in our early 20s. With so many new experiences and restaurants to choose from, planning is overwhelming, to say the least. My question is, what are some restaurants you'd recommend for both a picky eater and a self-proclaimed foodie? We've already got Homecoming and Ohana as must-dos on our list. I'll eat anything, while my boyfriend would prefer to stick with meat and potatoes. All right, she has a second question, but that's the first one. So they want to try to find, I guess we could say, a compromise restaurant where a foodie would enjoy the experience, but also you have some safe options, like just a meat and potatoes kind of thing. This is kind of like taking Paige out to eat, and I want to eat something fun.
Right.
This is kind of the story of my last 10 years of Disney. But, chat room, we're live here on Facebook. Please help us out if you have any suggestions for this. But, Rookies, anything come to mind right off the top?
So I did have a thought, and I hope I'm not stealing it from you, but my first thought was Gico. And the reason why I thought Gico is because they have the filet, which is something that they're famous for there. And of course, you can get it with the mac and cheese if you ask for it. I don't know if it's on the menu listed anymore with the mac and cheese.
It is.
Okay. I know like there was a time where it was off the menu, so I wanted to make sure. But so there's that option. But then also for the foodie side of you, you can enjoy the more, eclleptic, I guess, side of Gico. Now, of course, it is a signature dining restaurant, so it does cost a little bit more, but I think that that's going to be a really good option for you guys.
That's right. And we're getting a lot of great feedback from the chat. Again, Craig saying Beer Garden. I think if you can find a buffet, I was thinking Tusker House was what I was initially thinking, because with buffets, you can be kind of as safe as you want. Now, you're not going to get like a good steak off the, off of Beer Garden's buffet or Tusker House, but you have a lot of kind of fun meats, a lot of, meat and potatoes kind of stuff on both of those. And they've got cool atmosphere. Beer Garden's got the German Oompa Band. You got the great kind of character interaction over at Tusker House. We're getting a lot of great feedback in the chat. Boathouse, Nancy says, Yachtsman, Rachel says, because again, kind of like Gico, good steak, good potatoes. Is there anything kind of exotic on that menu though? I've never eaten there. You have.
Where, at Yachtsman?
Yeah, I've never eaten there.
No, not really exotic. It's mostly there for steak. Another option I was kind of thinking of just through as we were talking is Teppanito, because you can get as basic as you want with like steak, but then you can also, do things like sushi and stuff like that if you want to go kind of exotic.
That's a good one.
If you think sushi is exotic, I don't know.
Sushi. It is exotic for anybody from Missouri, I can tell you that much. But it's so good. Yeah. All right, Shell says, do you have any advice for a Disney lover who's been several times but is planning their first trip with a total Disney newbie? I realize both are loaded questions, and any recommendations you can give would be greatly appreciated. She's approximately 275 miles from Pam. She's in Bel Air, Maryland, and she says, go Caps. So sorry, I know that's going to kill Matt Parrish because he's a Lightning fan, but what can we do? All right, so what would you say, Ricky? So this is kind of something that I think not every Disney fan, but a lot of Disney fans are put in this situation where you've gone a lot of times, you're so excited, you bring somebody for the first time, so you have like your things that are, I got to do these to make it a successful trip. But I mean, with a newbie, you can't do it. What do you do? I mean, what's your best advice in that situation?
Yeah, so I did this with Brian, actually. Brian, when our first trip together, I was the one who was more seasoned with Disney, and he had not really ever been very much. So I took things slow. I had planned out, ideas of the parks that we were going to go to for the day and restaurants that we were going to try. But other than that, I just really kept things kind of casual-ish. It was before Fast Pass Plus, so we didn't have those scheduled, but that's easy to do. So I think just try to keep things as casual as you possibly can to show them kind of the excitement about the place, and then hopefully the love will grow for them as it did for you. That's kind of how it worked for Brian. Like, he eventually ended up loving it because we took it at a, well, semi-slow pace, although not really. At the time, when looking back, it was not that slow. But, you know, it just keep it kind of casual and easy.
And you will end up married, just like Brian and Ricky. So
be there careful. You go. See there.
Be careful what exactly. You wish for with that trip. No, seriously, I think that is the biggest temptation. You want to... If you are a huge Disney fan, which sounds like you are, like we are, you know, everybody right. Listening here today that's in the chat and everybody listening wherever you are in the world today on the podcast, you know, we want to show those people that have never been, because we probably talked their ears off about it. Like, oh my gosh, you know, you got to see this. You got to see the Maze Garden in the UK. You know, they could care less about that. They want to see Small World. They want to go on right. Big Thunder. You know, like, you want to show them everything, but you got to decide, you know, we're probably going to come back, and you can't do everything, but,
and see stuff. Kind of their idea of things that excite them. Like, if they seem to be bored by It's a Small World, maybe you don't take them on It's exactly. a Small World, you know, like, cater it a little bit more to them. And I think that they'll enjoy it a little bit better. Even if It's a Small World is your favorite attraction, well, if it's something that you don't think he'll enjoy.
It's 4 minutes of your life, you know, come on.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But, you know, just try to be, you know, if they don't do roller coasters, don't make them go on all the roller coasters. You know, just little things like that.
All right. Rhonda's got a great question in the Facebook live chat. We appreciate that. And whenever I can talk Disney Cruise Line, I love doing this. And I love this question. She says, love listening to the podcast. My question for you is this, what's one of your favorite things to do on a Disney cruise that's underrated or a hidden gem? So, okay, you're going on a Disney cruise, and lots of our listeners do these. You know, we have a lot of cruise fans in our audience that go on cruises. Hidden gem on Disney Cruise Line. You know, we talk about, go to the rainforest room if you're an adult without kids.
I feel like this could be a show, man.
It could. Yeah. It totally could. But just off the top of your head, what do you have?
Oh, my gosh. The hidden gems. There's really something so relaxing about just having coffee in your room in the morning, you know, when you wake up. I think that's kind of a hidden gem. Most people are running to go get, you know, breakfast at the cabanas or, you know, whatever. And I think that, like, it's not really it's not really something that's a gem for the ship, but, like, it's a hidden gem in that people don't tend to do that. My other favorite things about the ship are, honestly, it really is the feel of the ship itself. I feel like that's kind of a hidden gem, which is kind of a go with me, but, like, it's the ship itself has these special, obviously special Disney touches. And there's just something so remarkable about being there. When I return, it feels homey. I don't really know how to put it into words, but there's just something so amazing about just being on the ship and seeing the decor and, you know, hearing the chimes of the da 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 da, da, yes. You know, when they have an announcement, like, that's a hidden gem. And I know it's so stupid.
I know.
It's not
I love
anything.
It. No, it's totally. I it's love not that song.
Anything. But, like, it's just, like, that makes me feel like I'm on a Disney cruise, you know? Of course, you've got the ice cream, Mike, you know, the all you can eat ice cream is a hidden gem. I think they actually started adding a refillable popcorn bucket for the shows. So that's kind of a hidden gem that not a lot of people are talking about, because I think it's relatively new. And the front of the ship is always, like, my favorite. It's the adult area, but it's usually not very packed with people. So, because, you know, most everybody is in the, you know, main part of the ship where the families are. So if you can sneak away and go to the front of the ship, it's going to be much less crowded than the middle or back.
And that was like 12 hidden gems, but that'll work.
I'm sorry. No, one good. More mini golf.
Mini golf. 13 now. Don't do ping pong when you're at sea. It's impossible. So too hard. You know, mine is just get up and see a sunrise. You know, I know that a lot of people want to sleep in on their cruises, but when you can see a sunrise at sea, I mean, that's something that stirs the soul. You know, it's so worth getting up early. I know you stay out late on a Disney cruise. You know, there's so much to do at night in the adult areas, but suck it up. You know, especially if you have a veranda, go outside or just walk to the front of the ship, top deck, deck 11, whatever it is, you know, deck 4 on the running track. See that sunrise at sea. You need to see that. And then you can go back to bed if you want. Once it comes out, go get your first breakfast, go back to bed, and then get your second breakfast when you get up the second time. So there you go.
Exactly.
All right. Stephanie's got a great question, Ricky. This one's good for you. Says, love the podcast. Have you heard any news on the new Pixar Kids Club at the Contemporary? Any reviews coming in? Any things with that? What do you got going on with that? What do we know?
Anything? I haven't heard anything really solid. I still think it's a really good option for families who are considering, you know, having a night out or whatever. I think that it's really good because it's like it's like being on the cruise, you know, they have activities and stuff like that for the kids to do. So I personally, you know, whenever I have a kid, if this still exists, I will be definitely taking my kid to the Pixar Play Zone. I think it sounds like a fantastic idea, and there's tons for them to do.
All right, next question. Heading back to the inbox. It's from Janine. She's in Los Angeles, 20 miles from Disneyland. Lucky dog there. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm planning our first trip to Disney World this summer for 9 family members, including 4 kids. I just finished episode 1236 as I make my way through the past episodes and became worried about the way I set up our trip. We're doing a split stay of Art of Animation, resort only, in 7 days at French Quarter with quick service dining and 6-day park tickets. I was hoping to go to Hollywood Studios on the second day of our trip while staying at Art of Animation, but I'm worried that you said to do your package stay first and resort only second. I know we can't use our dining plan until our second resort. Will we be able to use our park tickets prior to checking in at French Quarter? I also purchased Memory Maker on our resort-only stay. Will we have Memory Maker for all 9 days? Janine, again, from Los Angeles. All right, so I can tackle this one real quick. We always, I recommend to my guests, if you're going to do a split where you have, you know, a package in a room only, do the package first, because what happens is you load your tickets on the package at the beginning, and if you know how Magic Your Way tickets work, they're good for 14 days from first use. So say you're staying 6 nights at, I don't know, say you're staying 6 nights at Riverside and 3 nights at French Quarter, and you want to do a split. So what you could do is you could load all 9 days worth of tickets on the Riverside stay because they're good for 14 days from first use, carries over, good stuff. Now, dining plan's a whole different thing. You got to do that separately. You can only have that on the time that you're in your package. Now, the thing is, Disney will, now this is not really, I don't know if it's actually a written rule, but they typically do let you get access to your package tickets 3 days prior to your check-in, if you're there. Now, that's just, I don't know if it's actually a written rule, but I mean, that happens a lot. I can't really say that it will for sure, but usually 3 days before you can get access to your tickets. So there we go. All right, let's get to the next question, and it's coming up here for Nate. Nate says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, thanks for the fun and informative show. I'll be arriving at MCO late at night, and I'm staying off-site for the first night to save a little money. I would like to go to Extra Magic Hour morning at Animal Kingdom on my first day, but I technically won't have checked into my resort yet. Will they let me in, knowing that I'll be checking in later that day? Nate's in St. Louis. There you go. Go Cards, he says. All right, Ricky, so what do you think? Are they going to let him? I mean, I can't remember how they check anymore. I guess they just scan your Magic Band.
Yeah, I would think that they scan your Magic Band. And oh, that is a good question. I honestly don't know if they'll let you in for extra morning Magic Hours if you're not actually officially checked in yet. I mean,
with online check-in, I would think you'd be fine though, right?
That's true. I was wondering if you did online check-in, if they that would make it okay. I wonder if any of our listeners have done this and if they have any advice, because I honestly don't know.
I think you're going to be fine, Nate, to be honest, because I think they'll be able to see in the system that you are checking in. Because, I mean, they should be able to pull that from your My Disney Experience account, that you have a reservation checking in that day. It might be one of those things where at first it's like, boop, you know, and it doesn't go through and you're like, hey, hey, and they check and they let you in. That's what I would say.
Maybe.
That's what I'm guessing.
Oh, Gene says you can check in at any time. So, well, with check-in. So,
I knew that.
So,
thank you. Michelle's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I've been listening to your show for many years and love it. We love that. This is my first email, though. So we're planning a trip to Walt Disney World in 2019. I'm a teacher, so we have to travel during my school breaks. We are trying to decide between taking a trip in mid-March, so I guess that's spring break, or mid to late August. I'm wondering if you think the crowd levels will be lower in March or August. We haven't traveled to Walt Disney World in many years. It's okay if we don't see the new Star Wars land, since many other experiences will be new to us. Thanks so much for all you do to make a fun, informative, and interesting podcast. Michelle's in Delaware. Love Delaware. We don't talk about Delaware enough. What's Delaware known for, other than Jeanette at the Magic for Less? She's like their most famous citizen, I think, at least to me.
Are you actually asking the question?
What's Delaware's? I think Delaware's
a river.
What's it say? There's a river. They do have. I'm sure they have plenty of rivers. What's their license plate? I think says like the Constitution State or something. They say first in something, but it's not first in flight. That's North Carolina. Anyway, we'll have to do a little research.
All right. Well, there's that. Yes, all right, well, research for us.
Let us know, Michelle. Anyway, so what I would say, and I think Ricky, you're going to back me up. Go mid to late August. The spring break crowds can be nutty in mid March. The weather's going to be a little nicer probably in March, but the crowds are going to be better in mid to late August. I'll tell you what, Pam goes back to school August 1st this year, and that's very typical of St. Louis this coming year. And in the South, they're going back in that time. So a lot of schools will be back in session by mid to late August. So what would you say, Ricky?
Yeah, I was going to say mid to late August, too. I feel like that's just... You're going to have spring break crowds if you go the March time period. So I feel like spring break crowds have been kind of astronomical lately. So I'm going to say definitely that August time period.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. So there you go. Oh, here's a great question. Actually, it's feedback from Margaret, a good friend down. And I think they're in Georgia now, but I always consider her like an Ole Miss person.
That's right.
I love Ole
Miss. She's in Georgia. She's not that far from me, actually.
But I think they're from Oxford. And I fell in love with Oxford when I went down for a football game. But anyway, she says, ending the Edison confusion. Because remember when I said that I was scared that if I went to Edison, like people would be swinging down on ropes and stuff like at night while I'm trying to eat my meal. So I haven't been there yet. So I didn't know. She clears it all up for her. She said, just after our spring break trip, there was an episode where Mike expressed confusion over the theme and demographic of the Edison restaurant. We ate there, loved it, and I think I can possibly clear up some of that confusion. The theme is Thomas Edison.
All right.
Okay, so here we go. The theme is Thomas Edison, and while the decor is steampunk, that's totally appropriate because steampunk is nothing more than a modernized version of the Industrial Revolution. The Disney website says it's designed to look like a 1920s electric company, but the Edison website calls it Industrial Gothic. Most people know Edison invented the light bulb, but there were many other inventions, including the kinetoscope, which was the first version of a movie camera. So that's why you'll see early moving pictures projected all around the restaurant. Because of those silly movies, I wouldn't hesitate to take younger kids there. As a matter of fact, there was a 2-year-old at the table beside us. He was totally entertained by the goofy antics projected on the wall in front of him. I think elementary age kids may especially appreciate it once they've studied about Thomas Edison, as there are lots of antique early inventions all around the place. My kids used to love to play guess what that is when we went to museums, so maybe that's just us. Alternatively, if they've been to Walt Disney World before, you can help the kids relate by referencing the part of Spaceship Earth where the guy is printing newspapers on the left and the telegraph office on your right. Another Edison invention, by the way. Another kid pleaser is a cool fountain-like place to wash your hands without ever going in the bathroom. She says the entertainment. The Disney website is a bit misleading. Nobody is going to be swinging over your table. All that stuff happens after 10 p.m. when it turns into an adults-only cabaret. We weren't there for that, but during the dining hours, there was a guy walking around doing science-y type magic, which was pretty fun. And we thought the menu was great, something for everyone, adventurous and not adventurous eaters alike. There you go. That answers our first question, the Edison.
There you go. Yes, exactly.
We all got different things and loved our choices, especially the clothesline bacon appetizer that everyone has seen pictures of. That looks amazing. And she says, hope that clears a few things up. So, Margaret, what do you think? I think Margaret just totally bailed us out on that one.
Absolutely. And that was kind of what I was trying to say to you, was that it definitely didn't seem like it was interesting. Let's put it that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, overtly interesting. Or risque, I guess I should say. It's fine. You can go to the Edison and be just fine.
I don't want to be in the middle of like Lanuba while I'm having a steak. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
you're fine. You know, you're fine. You're not gonna be.
I'll be hearing like do. You know that music they used to play on the in-room TV for Lanuba.
Yes.
Lanuba. Only Disney.
You're fine.
Downtown Disney. All right. So we appreciate that, Margaret. Thank you so much. All right, next question. Coming from the chat, Megan says, hey, guys, I'm going down to Disney for marathon weekend with a few girlfriends that are doing their first dopey challenge. And we'll be also celebrating a few big birthdays in our group. What would you suggest for a group celebration since we're on a kids-free trip? Whatever you want. No, that's too easy. What would you say? Because this is a girls' night, girls' weekend, Ricky. What do you do for girls' weekend? I'm not qualified for this one.
Got it. Honestly, here's the best option for you. Go to afternoon tea at the Grand Floridian. I think you're going to have a blast.
What?
I know, right? And it's perfect because you can go have fun, do the whole girly thing. I think that's a really good option. So that's my choice.
I would say it'd be fun to go see Yeehaw Bob. He can really celebrate
with
you. And you're off your feet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're doing dopey. You're doing 48.6 miles. You don't need to do another point. Anything. So that would be fun.
True.
Also, just hanging out in the lounges. The whole deal that we've learned, because we've been there for many marathon weekends now, and there's been a few of us that are doing dopies, crazy people, that you really do want to stay off your feet. And you also have to watch. I know that it's girls' weekend. Don't drink too much. You got to run a lot of races, and it gets longer each day that you get up. Like the first day, 5K, I can do 3 miles, no problem. Now it's like, boom, you're doing six. You're like, wait, what? And then the next day, they're like, okay, we're going 13. You're like, wait, huh? What? And then the last day, they really throw you for a loop and tell you, okay, we're going all the way around this whole place. So you're going to all parks and everything else. So be careful. Have fun, though. Whitney's got the next question. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My husband and I are planning a Disney trip from December 2nd to the 6th with our daughter, who will be 3.5 years old at the time of our visit. I love that. We are staying at the Contemporary because of its easy walking access to the Magic Kingdom. Since our daughter is young, we'll be planning 2 full days at the Magic Kingdom, 1 at Hollywood Studios, and then we think we'd like to split 1 day between the Animal Kingdom and Epcot. Our one must-do at Epcot is the Frozen ride. And as you can imagine, our daughter is Frozen obsessed, like most little girls her age. Just let it go. But since we can only have fast passes at 1 park per day, we're still trying to work out when to ride it. In your opinion, would it be better to A? Okay, we got an A, B, or C, so get ready.
Okay, multiple choices. We got choices.
Okay, so chat room, you got to put A, B, or C after these choices. So they're trying to sneak in Frozen Ever After. Okay, here we go. A, rope drop Epcot and ride Frozen first thing in the morning and then do Animal Kingdom using our fast passes at the Animal Kingdom for the rest of the day. Okay, that's A. B, start the day at Animal Kingdom and try to ride Frozen Ever After later that afternoon without a fast pass. Or C, or do you think we have any hope of riding Frozen Ever After? We'll have to use a fast pass. I don't know. So I'm just not sure of what the crowds will be like in early December. Thanks for your thoughts you might have on this. Also, I just have to say that 2 years ago, I was a person who rolled my eyes at all of you crazy Disney-obsessed people. And now I'm one of you. Thanks in large to your awesome podcast. That's right. I love it. You're a Disney nerd just like us. So welcome to the club. She's down in Memphis, Tennessee. So you got A, B, or C. So I would say, well, Ricky, I'll let you go first.
If these are the options, I am going to go with A. I think that that's the better option to go rope drop, Frozen Ever After, and then use your fast passes for Animal Kingdom. So the other option I was going to suggest is do Animal Kingdom first and then hit up Frozen Ever After as the, then go to Epcot and do Frozen Ever After as the last thing you do. So those are my two.
I would totally, in the chat room saying go with A. Yeah,
I would
definitely go get Frozen Ever After right at rope drop and then go from there. Because it sounds like it's hugely important to your daughter. And you're going to love that because when your daughter gets to see it, and then, when you're there, also meet Anna and Elsa. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're next door. And the wait times are not crazy for that, too. So do the whole Frozen thing. And everybody's saying A. A is the correct answer. We have an overwhelmingly A chat room. Wake up, Ricky. We still have more questions.
I'm sorry.
So sad. Okay, so we have a great question from the Facebook chat. Stephanie says, which resort would you stay at? A party of two. We are DVCers. One night at Beach Club, Polynesian, Grand Floridian, or Copper Creek. We've stayed at Polynesian before and loved it. So two people, two adults, Ricky. I mean, this is totally just whatever. I mean, we can pick any, but if you had your choice, because you're such a Grand Flow girl now, I know you're. Who would have thought I'd ever say that? Would you stay at Beach Club, Poly, Grand Floor, or Copper Creek if it were up to you?
Oh my, this is like the worst choice ever. I do love the Polynesian, but they've already stayed there. Part of me wants to say the Beach Club, because of the proximity to both Epcot and Hollywood Studios, too. So I'm going to surprise and go with Beach Club.
Really, it depends on the time of the year, and I can't
absolutely
see when was it. It doesn't say. Like, if you're there during Food and Wine or Flower and Garden, Beach Club is a good choice. But other times of the year, I would probably go with Polynesian. But see, I'm just saying that because I've never stayed there, and I've always wanted to. So
right.
It's got the history.
Right.
The history.
Right. I mean, the Grand Floridian is nice, too, though, but, yeah.
It's for grandmas.
It's not for grandmas. It's nice.
I'm just kidding. All right, Caitlin's got the next question. Hello, BOGP. I stumbled across your podcast a few months ago as I was planning my June trip with my soon-to-be husband for our honeymoon. I love listening to the podcast on my commute to and from work as it gives me a solid dose of Disney magic as I eagerly await our trip. That's what we do, Ricky. We give solid doses of Disney magic. I love that. Who'd have thought? You know, when I was like a teenager, I never thought I'd be dishing out solid doses of Disney magic.
I know, right? No, I did not think I would be offering up any good advice in my life.
No, solid doses of. I want to get a bumper sticker that says that. It has like a finger pointing and says the dude driving this Jeep dishes out solid doses of Disney magic weekly.
Hashtag Beer Guest Podcast.
That's it.
Promotion.
All right, this is what we're going to do with shirts. My question is, are there restaurants in Disney Springs that do not accept Disney gift cards? I've looked online and have found a ton of mixed answers. Specifically, I sound like I'm two. Specifically, I had peanuts before we started recording. I got salty lips. Specifically, we have reservations at Paddlefish, the Boathouse, Morimoto Asia, and STK Orlando. We haven't talked about that restaurant in ages. Thanks a ton. She's in Stowe, Ohio. Katie is. All right, so Ricky, what's the story on Disney gift cards at the restaurants of Disney Springs?
So the ones that she listed, I think almost all of those are owned by other companies. So I'm going to guess that they do not accept Disney gift cards because they are owned by other companies. Now, I could be wrong, but I think that would, if I had to take a guess, I think that that would probably be the case.
I would say the same. I would say
yes.
Probably not, because they are third-party right. restaurants.
Yeah, there are a few, obviously, Disney-run restaurants, you know, like Deluxe Burger is one of them. You know, some of the kiosks, like the Daily Poutine and stuff like that, Amorette's Patisserie, those are all Disney-run. But the ones that she listed are not. So,
all right.
Bummer.
Cool. All right. Heather's up next. She says, hey, Mike, my family and me are going to be staying at Fort Wilderness for the first time. I'll be bringing my service dog along with us. I was wondering if you guys have any tips for doing the parks with a service dog. I really enjoy listening to you guys and all your tips. Thanks in advance, Heather. Now, of course, we've never traveled with a service dog. But Ricky, I mean, what do you think we should think of if you were in this situation? I really don't know. Steve Hood has had his dog in the past and
yes.
he's an expert at that. So I don't know.
So we do have a couple of pages on the Mouse for Less about traveling with service dogs. So go search for those. There are a few places. Just keep in mind that Disney does have some places that are relief areas for pets. They are labeled, but you may want to kind of ask, you know, a cast member or things like that. I'm sure that they'll have a map for you. But you may want to ask a cast member, you know, where those relief locations are. Also, at the end of the attractions, if it's an attraction where your animal, service animal, cannot ride, like I've seen at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, obviously they can't ride that. They do have a little kennel type area for the dog to go to while you're riding the attraction. Just make sure you have, you know, obviously, you know, a cup for water and a little bit of food with you, and it'll be just fine. You're going to have it. You shouldn't have any issues.
We're getting feedback again on the gift cards, which we love our Facebook group. But again, this is kind of how the internet is. We're hearing that STK does take Disney gift cards. Richard says he thinks some of them do as well. What I would do in this situation is, if you're loading money onto Disney gift cards to kind of prepay for food, is to attempt to use them, but also have a credit card handy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
you know, if you get it, you get it. And you can, if not, just use it for the stuff where you can in the parks. You know, like, you can always use it for whatever
right.
else. So that's what
yeah.
I do.
I mean, if you always ask, that should have been what I said before, is, you know, ask when you sit down, do you take Disney gift cards? And that will be, you know, easier. But what were the other choices? I think Gene said he can confirm.
It was
ones.
Morimoto's, Boathouse, Paddlefish. And
okay.
then I think we got STK.
And STK. Got it.
Sounds like he must got know it. STK pretty well from the way he's hinting.
I know Gene. He's a good guy. He can find out.
Is he a server at STK? I don't know. All right.
No.
Just kind of sounded like to me. All right. Anyway, Carolyn's got the next one. And see, when I see titles of email where it puts our listeners in peril, I go to the email right away, even if it's not next
Uh-oh.
Up in the queue. Because here's the title of this one. All four parks in one day, Saturday, July 14th. Right there, I'm like, oh my gosh.
There you go. There
peril.
You go.
This. I don't even read it yet, but this person is in peril. Because July 14th, it'll be 110 with a heat index of like 190. And you're going to try to do four parks in one day. Let's see what Carol has for us. Caroline, anyway. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Me, my husband and sons, who are 13 and 11, are going to try to hit all four parks in one day on Saturday, July 14th. My goodness. We're Disney veterans, but we've never tried this before and wonder what you recommend as a plan of attack. We figured we'd need to hit at least one major attraction or two and some sort of food at each park to make it count. Animal Kingdom has extra magic hours at 8 a.m. that morning, so we figured we'd start there and rope drop Flight of Passage. We're staying at the Polynesian for the first time. Yay. So we thought we'd end the day at the Magic Kingdom. Have you ever done all four parks in one day? Any fast passes we should consider at some point in the day? A Toy Story Land attraction, probably. We'll be using Disney transportation. We're from Gainesville, Virginia, but I feel like 0 miles from Pam because it looks like the Steelers catalog threw up in my basement. So I guess they're big Steelers fans. Thanks for keeping me so entertained on my long commute, Caroline. All right, Caroline, I'm just worried about the heat. I think you're going to have fun. And your kids are the perfect age to do this, especially boys. They're going to be all over this. So I think you are going to be successful. You're just going to be whooped at the end of this day. So, Ricky, what would you say? I mean, I would definitely start at the park that has morning extra magic hours. Sounds like Animal Kingdom will. And I think it does for the whole summer, basically, at least for June. Right?
Yeah, I know they both have it extended. Disney's Animal Kingdom as well as Disney's Hollywood Studios have morning extra magic hours. So
what would you do? Start Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
Flight of Passage. I'd eat at Satouli. Because you would be there early, so you can't.
Yeah, you can't eat
bummer.
At Satouli. No. And I would end at whatever park has the latest hours, which is probably going to be
Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom.
And they're a Polynesian, so that makes sense. So they can just cut when they're exhausted.
So then you just have to decide which part. That's going to be tough because Hollywood Studios has extra magic hours too.
I would fast pass a Toy Story Land attraction if you can get it. That's where I'd do it. And then fast pass like a Tower of Terror rock and roller coaster.
Yes.
Something
I think
like
that's
that.
That's what I would do.
Have lunch at the studios.
Yes.
Go to Epcot mid-afternoon. And you can, you're not going to ride Frozen Ever After, but you could easily probably get on Soarin' without too much trouble.
Right.
Maybe say a Spaceship Earth and then end at Magic Kingdom riding rides and Happily Ever After. Right?
Yeah.
Have supper at the Magic Kingdom.
Yes. And apparently all the restaurants except Disney gift cards.
There we go.
So that's good. That's awesome. We had it confirmed. So, hey.
And you know what? I've done four parks in a day many times. It's called marathon. So
That's true.
That's what I do.
I like Joe's suggestion that I'd suggest hydration. Yes, that's definitely true.
Yes, I'm not kidding because that'll get you faster than anything. Man,
who
cares if you did four parks in a day if you end up in Celebration Hospital that night? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's not a success. All right, let's get to the last question today. It's my good buddy Jimmy and Rhonda down in New Braunfels, Texas, one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less. Hey, Mike and ladies, we've booked our first ever Christmas week trip to Disney World. Any suggestions for Christmas Day dinner? We hope to be in the Magic Kingdom at least part of the day with about 100,000 of our best friends.
Yes.
We're open to anything, but would prefer a traditional Christmas meal. See, Jimmy's like me. We're traditional. We're
all
old
right.
school.
We'd I've like got to, it.
Okay, suggestions. Thanks, Jimmy. Go ahead.
I've got it. So for the most part, I mean, a lot of the restaurants will offer, they don't put it on the menu, but they'll offer some sort of traditional meal option. But I've done this. My choice, and especially if they're going to be by the Magic Kingdom, go to Trail's End.
That's what I
First of all, it's cheap, which is, you know,
we're not
that's
saying Jimmy
right
and
there.
Ron are cheap at all, but I'm just saying they.
No,
we like
I'm
to save
a fan
money.
Of now it does have a. The reason I say that is because there is a holiday surcharge to the meal, so you're gonna have it's gonna cost you more than it would have cost anyway.
It's
so
less cheap. Everywhere is less cheap on Christmas and any other holiday they can get, like Father's Day or even like Arbor Day. They'll surcharge you.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to suggest to go there. They have obviously all the regular fixings on the menu. So you've got the fried chicken, you've got the mashed potatoes, you've got the everything. But they also have a carving station where they had ham and I believe turkey as well. So I would definitely, and it's really relatively easy to get to Trails End, into Trails End as a reservation on Christmas Day. I've done it, within a few weeks now. I did have, when I was there at Christmas this past trip, I was actually able to, and I know this is like heresy, everybody's gonna be like, oh, but I was actually able to make, I had a reservation scheduled for Christmas Day. And I think I looked the day before, or it was like 2 days before, something like that. I had it scheduled for 50s primetime, and I needed to change my reservation to add my brother and his boyfriend. So we ended up changing it to Kona instead. And like, let me tell you, there was plenty of availability. So if you are like making a last minute Christmas Day dinner change of plans, you're going to have, there was, I mean, I was so impressed with how much availability there was at peak times too, like not just the, you know, cheesy times of 9 o'clock or whatever. So you're going to be just fine. But my suggestion is definitely Trail's End. Although I saw in the chat, a good suggestion also is Liberty Tree Tavern. If you are, you know, if you can get in, yeah. The reason I didn't suggest that is it's really hard to get into Liberty Tree.
That's
Tavern
the first thing everybody thinks of when it comes to Thanksgiving or Christmas, like Liberty Tree, you know, cause it makes sense. It's that meal, but it's
it does.
Tough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So plus who doesn't want fried chicken on Christmas?
Oh man. But the thing is with a buffet, you can build your own, you know, you can have absolutely. Some traditional and you can have some non-traditional, you know what? Maybe 100%. You don't normally have cornbread.
That's why I liked cornbread. It. That's why I liked it. Cause I could have traditional and then I could have non-traditional too. So that was really good.
All right, man, we got to quit doing this at dinner time, killing me. And then
well,
Katie,
you know, if you didn't eat Taco Bell for dinner.
Oh, well, that's what I have after the show. I haven't had it yet.
I know, after the show.
So anyway, Katie's down there. One of my great friends, clients over at the Magic for Less. She's down at Walt Disney World right now. She just had Deluxe Burger in Disney Springs, said it was awesome.
Nice.
So
jealous.
You're winning, Katie. You are winning. All right. So
you know, there is a hidden secret menu for Deluxe Burger, but you have to order.
I don't need a secret menu. They're good. What's on the secret menu? What do you got to do?
I think there's some sort of donut breaded chicken fingers.
What do you got to do? Like give a secret like handshake or something to get it or something?
No, you have to order on the mobile app.
Oh, look at that.
You have to, like the secret menu is only available on the mobile app. So if you, you know, are looking for restaurants with secret menus, the mobile app may be your friend. Just saying.
Oh, I love Joe. We're going to wrap this one up, but he says, peace on earth, goodwill to man. Seriously tested in line at Buzz Lightyear without a fast pass. That's so true. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. We will be back again on Friday talking about some current Disney topics. Lots to talk about. Lots has happened in the past week over at Walt Disney World.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to talk about that. So stay tuned for that. But first, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great apps for your iPhone, like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Ricky, don't spoil Friday's show, but what are we reading about today? What's in the news?
I won't, but apparently there is also Deluxe Burger, a burger with donuts as buns. So,
oh, they have those at the minor league games here over in Fairview Heights over at the Gateway Grizzlies. I had two one night. That was before I started trying to lose weight. Oh, like it's heaven. They were on Krispy Kremes. There was a hamburger between a Krispy Kreme.
Sounds like a heart attack. Okay, so the news for this week, let's just get back to that. There is a brand new single day Walt Disney World ticket option for guests if they are so inclined. This does not apply to everyone or most of our listeners, but just in case you have kind of a last minute trip or you're one of those people who I saw in line on Christmas Day who are waiting to buy tickets into the park, this might be the ticket option for you. So you get three fast passes that are selected for you to use that will automatically be linked to your ticket. These tickets are sold with the FastPass selections and the FastPass windows already predetermined. However, guests can choose from a variety of FastPass Plus groupings for each park. So there are a couple different choices depending on the members of your family, that kind of thing that you're bringing with you. Although headliners are not included in these options. So I'm sorry, you're not going to get on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train if you buy your ticket with the single day ticket option. And I believe it's only available at the, you know, the day before the park. Before you go to the park. So
that's so interesting. We'll talk, maybe we'll talk a little bit about more why that's
it's
happening
very weird
on Friday.
It's a very weird thing, but I'm sure there are reasons for this. And I'm sure that it's because as we all know, not everybody is a planner like we all are who are sitting here listening to a podcast about Walt Disney World.
Hey, my travel agent was in the chat. I saw Scott earlier. So he's the travel agent to the travel agents. That's what I said.
Exactly. So I'm just saying, like, not everybody is a planner like us. So this is for those who are not planning their Walt Disney World vacations until they roll up to the ticket window when they get there and are like, I want to go to the Magic Kingdom today. And you're like, good luck with fast passes.
Have fun. All right. Well, that's a good, they should name it that. You didn't plan, sucker. ticket, one day ticket. Magic your didn't plan your trip ticket. Anyway, that's pretty
exactly.
good. All right, so thanks again for joining us here. We hope you enjoyed the show. Again, check out our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thanks to everybody who is using that. And, you know, we'll be back again on Friday. So give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. Check that out as well. And, of course, the Facebook group is always fun. You can go back and see the live video from the shows. We have conversations there all week. We break the news when there's news to break. It's all there. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you go until Friday. So for Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.